Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
3 o'clock hour, which means many different things here on the WEEI Afternoon Show. We're one down, three to go, but more importantly, Big Ted wearing another one of his happy shirts tags into the program. Ted Johnson in the house.
What's up, boys?
Teddy.
Good to see everybody.
Good holiday weekend, buddy.
I did. I had a great weekend. Thank you for asking, Dan. It was a lot of fun. But a lot of good, I don't know, just stories that came up over the weekend that you saw my rundown that I'm excited to get to. So it's good to be with you guys today and for the rest of the week.
It's always, Fitzy, a good note when we get the Ted Johnson email, which we always do. But then there's a follow-up with kind of the ricochet shots of what was missed in the first one. That's how we know. That's how we know we're fired up on a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Yeah, when there's 12 ideas or more, 5 sound nuggets, and then Ted gets a chance to check our rundown and pings us back with 3 to 6 more.
Right.
You know, I love when we start every day just a little behind the glass inside the sausage factory. Some days you wake up in the morning and think, how are we going to get through 4 hours of sports talk today? Up, and then we get to 30 minutes before the show, and it's like, we're going to need 8 hours to get through all of this today. Guys.
Wednesday's prep. Yeah, those are the good ones. Absolutely.
Yeah, Ted, we got some time built into the show later on today as well to give you a chance to react to some of the stuff that we had going on yesterday, because from Will Fleming to some of our football takes and beyond.
I loved it. I loved everybody's three-point stance from yesterday, and I think we're getting into that a little bit. And, of course, one of my favorites, man, LB, Lennon Byers, passed away, which I had no idea he was struggling with some health issues, but we'd love to kind of hit on him before the show ends as well, maybe in odds and ends, just tell people what I thought of one Lennon Byers.
Yeah, I sort of helped, couldn't help but wonder if you guys had a personal relationship, if you knew each other, maybe got a chance to work on Greg's show together.
9 years. 9 years?
Yeah, you used to call, so what did you call in, like every Monday or something?
Every Monday for 9 years. I did the Hillman Morning Show, and LB was there. Spaz, of course, was there, and so it was you know, a great group. And LB was he's everything that everybody says he is. Like, there is not a disingenuous bone in his body. He is the real deal, Holyfield, very authentic, very real. And I never saw him have a bad day. That's the thing that always impressed me, is every time I ran into him, it was always a big smile. And Teddy, he loved calling me Teddy. And it breaks my heart. I had no idea that he was maybe dealing with some things. And so it caught me out of the blue to hear the passing of Lennon Byers. But yeah, my heart goes out to his family. He was just truly one of the all-time just good dudes in the radio business.
Yeah, his, you know, we think of his wife Annie, his son Will, everybody whose path he crossed, people that he touched, entertained, the people that he popped in the chops during his many years on the ice hockey, probably even still feeling him and missing him as well. And we'll get later to odds and ends to a few more remembrances, plus a little something we may be doing here as a show in his honor as well. But right now, we got some other hot takes we got to get to. It's time for the 3-point stance.
319!
Ready!
319!
319! Yeah, there you go! What's that? What's that?
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, which is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on the biggest stories in the world of sports today. Each host will get 60 seconds to present their stance, after which we will open up for discussion. Our order for today's Nick Fitzy Stevens, then myself, Dan Ball, and then Ted Johnson. Fitzy, you will lead us off. Are you ready, my friends?
Oh, man, I'm Jaren Duran back in the leadoff spot. All right, no pressure. This is going to be fun. Let's
That's right. Don't screw it up or you're hitting seventh tomorrow. And here is your 60 seconds, which begin right now.
All right. I found this audio from the show Quarterback, which is now in its second season, the third season of Netflix presenting a summertime 8-part NFL docuseries. I, for one, am super excited. I'm hoping we all get a chance to watch it and provide a review later on this week in the show. But one of the quarterbacks featured is currently my favorite player in the NFL, and it's with good reason. Stiz, hit it.
That's a great drive to finish it. I know it's a frustrating,
embarrassing performance by us. Embarrassing.
And listen, we'll address it. We'll address it, but at the same time, let's enjoy some
that. We sucked today. That was embarrassing. Okay. We jumped off sides 8 times.
I know that.
That, of course, is Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. Following a 10-point win on the road against the Tennessee Titans last season, 37-27, where the Titans scored, as I mentioned, 37 points and put on quite the offensive performance against a pretty good Titans defense as well. But Joe Burrow, in very savage, killer, highly focused John Wick of the gridiron fashion, was super unhappy with the fact that it was an 8 offside performance by his team. Too many penalties for his liking, regardless of how many touchdowns he threw to T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase on that day. And it is that kind of will to win. It is that kind of dissatisfaction with messiness. It is that kind of savagery that you need from a starting quarterback these days. That's exactly what I love hearing from Joe Burrow. That's why I think this guy's a winner. And I wouldn't mind hearing a little more intensity from that from Drake May.
Okay, I like that. We've talked a lot about comps for Drake May. There was also a photo that Mike Giardi held over the head of one Andy Hart. Easy to do that, but there was a photo nonetheless.
That was great. That was great too. I saw that and it's like, God, this is why. Forget about the fact that the guy like gives his offensive linemen swords or drives a Batmobile. Like, he's not happy with a 10-point road win where he throws 4 touchdowns because his team plays sloppy and he knows they can be better.
Yeah,
it's a unique blend of kind of confidence and arrogance almost that you need to get to.
No doubt, and you think maybe the Bengals would do something a little differently this preseason. They never play their guys, their stars in the preseason. They get off to awful starts. I mean, their record in the month of September with that coach, Stefanski, is terrible. They started off 1-4 last year, lose to the Patriots in the home opener. But and then they start playing better at the end of the year. They need to play their guys more, I think, to start a preseason and get off to better starts if they're going to be there in the mix where they need to be. Like they have been at the end of these seasons, but they got these slow starts that it puts them behind the 8-ball.
Joe Burrow 7-10-1 in the month of September in his career versus 10-3 in the month of December.
There you go.
Perfect sample size.
Andy,
if you could even get that to a game or two. I mean, he's 10-10 then in October, 8-7 in November, 10-3, and then 3-0 in January. Yeah. So It takes a
3-0 January.
Right. It takes a month to, what, 6 weeks to kind of get them ramped up. And by then, you're chasing in a good division and in usually a typically a good conference. So it's amazing how.
He's a winner. That's winning DNA right there.
Yeah, no
and
doubt.
It's just, I want Drake May to be his own man, Teddy, and let's move on. But, like, at the same time, I just, for some reason, you know, I don't love that kind of, like, grisly behavior at times. But, like, that's the right place for it. And good for him for not accepting Zach Taylor's, like, a mid-level performance like that. So I love it.
We'll
see more of quarterback on Netflix.
There you go. All right. Stiz, may I have 60 seconds on the clock, please?
Daniel, your 60 seconds begins right now.
All right. Back to the Red Sox drum I go. Will Fleming told us everything we wanted to hear. Are the Red Sox actually going to spend? We will find out in about 6 weeks' time. But I identified with Fitzy last segment that starting pitching and specifically bullpen help is where I would go in terms of my top need for the Red Sox in terms of how they use their bullpen and guys that they should add. I think something that's being underlooked at this trade deadline is the catcher position and specifically a backup catcher to Carlos Narvaez. Let's talk for a moment about the crown jewel of the Mookie Betts trade, Connor Wong. He is 16th in framing among qualifiers, but only 43rd in catcher pop time. So he's bringing very average defense to the table. He is also 78th in batting average and 83rd in WAR among catchers. And normally there are only 60 catchers in Major League Baseball at a time, a starter and a backup. So he's worse than a backup when it comes to his numbers at the plate. If you're not bringing plus defense and you're not bringing anything at the plate, all you're doing is taxing Carlos Narvaez, who is still a rookie in Major League Baseball. He's hitting .248 over his last 30 days, so you're starting to see a little bit of a wear down. They've played Wong once, if not twice, a series. He's playing again tonight, but there is such a black hole behind Carlos Narvaez at the catcher, at the backup catcher's position right now for the Boston Red Sox, that if you want Narv, the captain, whatever you call him, to be fresh for September and October, I think there's got to be something done to supplement the catcher position. So I would be looking for an addition. Are you calling Atlanta for a guy like Sean Murphy? Maybe. Is he too expensive? I don't know. But I just don't think your catching position is strong enough right now with Narvaez playing his first full season in Major League Baseball to omit potentially adding something at that position at the deadline.
Baseball's crazy. You look at that catcher position to start the season in spring training, and it was Wong who was starting. Narvaez was the backup, and we all thought the backup was, you know, not good enough to back up Wong.
Right.
And his strengths, well, I thought, were defense and not that good a hitting, where it's the other way around this year, where he's almost better a hitter than he is defense. Not that he's a good hitter, but, you know, so it is amazing how all of a sudden what looked like it was one situation 3 months ago is something totally different. But that is interesting. A backup catcher, yeah. Narvaez wearing down a little bit, yeah. That's something to be – that's noteworthy as well, because the numbers don't lie.
And Dan, wasn't one of the stats, Brian, I wasn't sure if it was either from spring or last season with the Yanks, like 14 of his last 14 attempted base stealers had stolen against Narvaez, leading into him getting his first action with the Sox this season?
Something to that effect.
It was like a jaw dropping stat. Like, oh, good, this guy Narvaez we got from the Yankees, everybody steals again.
That's exactly, Fitzy, you're exactly right. That's why I just assumed he was going to be a bad defender when he's actually, his numbers would suggest he's one of the better defensive catchers in the league.
And we're to the point where Fitzy, I mean, he is personally my first half MVP. I shudder at the thought of what the 2025 Red Sox would look like if Carlos Narvaez wasn't having the season that he did. All the more reason to where you don't know what he's going to do in the second half because he's doing it for the first time. That's why I advocated for protecting Crochet for a couple weeks, because he's pitching this inning load for the first time to the point where his manager is literally doing the sign of the cross when talking about his innings limit. So just protecting against some of the trends you're starting to see, Fitzy, is the thing that I'm advocating for if you're going to spend the way Will Fleming says they're going to.
And last question before we get to your three-point stance, Ted. Yesterday in his three-pointer, Dan said that he would advocate for Crochet skipping his final start heading into the All-Star break just to give the arm a little rest after winning his last two starts, but not looking quite his dominant self. Will Fleming said, great idea, no chance that happens. How would you handle it?
I'm just like Will Fleming. I heard you guys talking about this yesterday, and my question was, would he be used to have four games against the Rays after this?
He'd be probably your Friday starter, I think, against the Rays.
So you get one start. If he doesn't, you know, he needs to start against the Rays. That's my only. I just think these wins are too important now. You know, they're in a position where I get what you guys are saying. He's pitching more innings than he's ever pitched. Got it. I know. But man, you know what? If you have a chance to take one against the Rays going into the All-Star break, it just helps further the case that maybe potentially they'll be buyers. I want them to be buyers.
Yeah.
So I want them to look good going into that trade deadline. And so I just think resting him when you need every win you can get is look, and I think I heard you guys talking about yesterday, just can we just tell whoever the manager is for the American League not to pitch him in the All-Star game?
What can we send? What do we send him? Tequila, Gantz, Miller Lite.
Guys, and we joke. There's people. Look, I've seen All-Star games be the end of guys, seasons around here, particularly in basketball.
Right.
I mean, how many guys have gotten hurt in the All-Star games playing basketball? And they were a ghost of themselves the rest of the year. So I All-Star games do worry me. And so I do worry about him potentially, getting hurt in that All-Star game.
Yeah.
So.
To your point there, I'm not sure there is a worse opponent for my plan of resting Crochet than the Rays right now, because they are right now the team that you're directly trying to track down both in the AL East and in the AL wild card. Yep. So that's a direct win and jump up in the standings perspective, especially if you add Bregman to the mix this weekend. But I digress and continue to dream on that. All right, Ted Johnson, are you ready, my friends?
I'm ready, bud.
All right, let's do it. Stiz, let's give him 60 seconds, which begin right now.
All right. So this weekend, really good article from my buddy Chris Gasper of the Globe talking about the Red Sox and their quote-unquote player programs and how basically analytics are kind of, basically one size fits all in sports. They're trying to make it easier to coach, manage, teach by finding a one size fits all solution. And my favorite part of the article was the quote in there by Breslow, okay? We actually have audio. I don't have to quote it for you, but we actually have Breslow talking about Christian Campbell. So think of this quote in terms of Christian Campbell. Go ahead, Stiz.
In many ways, he's a prime example of what's possible when great scouting meets great development around a player who maximizes his potential over everything else.
That was actually Craig Bresbot. My apologies.
Man,
but that's,
can't tell the difference.
Talking about basically the exact same quote. Basically, Christian Campbell, it was a prime example of what's possible when great scouting meets great development. So they are putting basically his his success, if you will, to the development in the analytics department. The problem is with analytics is that basically they teach every player to hit the same. Just like in the Celtics, they have everybody shooting the three-point ball, even though that's not their strengths. You know, the analytics would say every player's got to lift the same, that everybody's the same. It's lazy coaching, and it's a bigger challenge to coach now because of roster churning. And get this, the Red Sox have 63 analysts on staff to only 12 coaching. That needs to be flipped. There needs to be 63 coaches to 12 analysts. You don't need 63 analysts and only 12 coaches. That ratio is off. It should be the other way around, and it's frustrating me. And so, but I do see some things turning around. I don't know. I mean, there was a way in which they pitched to start the season. Now they've changed it. There was a way in which they hit the ball to start the season. And I'm hearing from Will Middlebrooks and others, and it looks obvious to a lot of people. Why are they hitting the ball better? I don't know. Maybe they've changed their philosophy and how they hit, too. So, analytics, it only gets you so far.
Mm-hmm.
It only gets you so far.
It's a, Fitzy, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but it remains true. It is a tool that helps educate you. It gives you another perspective on what's going on in the game, but it can't be a bylaw. It can't be the thing that you base your decisions off of, especially in such an individualistic game. You're a hitter up there. I know you're part of a team, but you're by yourself. Every single position player is by themselves, and every pitcher is out there on the mound by themselves. So player to player to player, there are so many just human-based differences with these guys that analytics don't account for.
Dan and Fitzy, I just got to get this off my chest. I've said it before, and all you, future wannabe analytics folks out there. Okay, here's what I really think the root cause of. You ready? This is gonna hurt a little bit.
Okay,
it'll hurt a little bit.
It's all right.
But I think analytics it feeds the ego of front office personnel. I really do. I think it justifies a lot of their Ivy League degrees. It makes them feel like they are just as important as the players. And a lot of the people in analytics, I think, are people who are guys that wanted to play but just couldn't play. And so they use analytics to make their mark in the game that they love. They aren't good enough, Craig Breslow, baseball players, that they have to go into analytics. And there's plenty of opportunities in that league for
you know, guys that are really smart and know how to break down data and use their Ivy Leagues to help the ball club. But I think it's a way in which they justify their job. So, okay, I might be a little strong, but that's just
wow.
That's also coming from a former athlete. So
I was just gonna say I have never heard a middle linebacker ever call a situational left-handed reliever a nerd better in my entire life.
Yeah,
that was outstanding, Ted.
All right,
I made my case. I get you because it's gone from an arrow in the quiver, guys, to basically like. The left or the right, like that. You see teams just leaning on it so much that it's stripping them of the hunch and gut of a manager and just a good old fashioned feel for the ball game anymore. Like it's not like I got the heater working tonight, Skip. It's more like, well, you know, with two strikes out, in night games in the month of June. This hitter is hitting this particular amount. Like sometimes just throw the high cheese. Like I see what you're saying.
And the last thing on there, I think it also kind of, it's an easy way for them to wiggle out of being accountable. Yeah, the numbers, the analytics. Yeah,
That's right.
It's just such a,
it removes the humanity out of any decision that you're making.
Boom.
Yeah. Well, my computer said that you're not good enough. So, and it's, this started years and years ago when we started being told in baseball for pitchers, wins don't matter. It's all about, at the time, it was all about ERA. That was the number that was the true metric. And now, now you're into FIP and K percentage and walk percentage and all that other crap that I could bore people with for days. But that philosophy is what's been talked about in terms of the Red Sox in their developmental philosophy. Wins don't matter. Winning the baseball game as a member of the Woo Sox or the Sea Dogs or whomever else isn't the number one thing that's being valued, just like they're not being valued individually for pitchers or, you know, individually for players or anything like that. So it's just become, to your point, Fitzy, it's grown too far where now it's an organizational philosophy. It's how we go about our day-to-day versus, hey, this helps inform us what's going on. It helps inform our established season baseball coaches make the in-game decisions that they need to make. And that's just, it does not work for your winning franchises in baseball. I don't think you see it that way.
Right. It's not a matter of the numbers will support this. Okay, good. Thanks very much. I appreciate the input. It's no, before we make a decision, what do the numbers say? You cannot let something as cold, something that lacks compassion, something that doesn't have a heart to it, like the data. Listen, I know that numbers never lie. That's the job of lawyers and lovers. But to just base an entire foundation and philosophy on that, I think is the wrong way. And like you said, Dan, it strips the humanity out of something that we love so much. And maybe, just maybe, that along with 5-minute freaking replays in the first inning of a ball game versus a quick 2-hour good time for the family with dancing and shirtless, acrobatics at like the Savannah Bananas. That's what frustrates people about the current state of America's pastime. So there you go, folks. Ted is tired of all the analysts. He wants a little less data and a little more heart and a little more gut in his baseball. Dan Ball thinks the Red Sox need to maybe get a backup catcher as well as a starter at the trading deadline. And I love me some Joe Burrow. Those are our 3-point stances on the day. And 617-779-7937 is your phone number if you'd like to jump in, weigh in on ours, or offer one of your own. On the other side, Brad Stevens, your president of basketball operations.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Give people who do a great job with quantitative materials but offer up a perspective in a qualitative matter. He spoke earlier today about the current state and future of your Boston Celtics. We'll share a little bit of that with you when we come back, but first let's catch you up on everything that's trending with Dan Ball.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.